Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How many in the house love Jesus today?
Yeah?
Isn't he awesome?
Amen.
Oh, how can we go a day and not be happy? When you just, it's all in where our mind goes. It's all in what our focus is in life, isn't it? And when we think about all the thousands of years under the old covenant and nobody could be saved, they couldn't have communion. They couldn't commune with God because the high priest had to go in and kill a lamb for them. But he was the only one that could go into the presence of the Lord. They couldn't endure, they couldn't enjoy what we have today. Every day now, we're the temple not made with hands, and the Spirit dwells in us. He doesn't live in a physical building. Can you imagine? How would you build a house for God? Where would you put him? Would he have his own bathroom? Would he have gold drapes in the master bedroom? Would he have china? You know, but he lives in here, in each one of you. And that's really, really special. That is a concept about who God is that so many people don't even think about. Instead of going, let's go to church, I think it's really cool that we are the church. And wherever we go, we're the tabernacle that moves. Wherever God moves, we move with him. And he moves with us. But for now, he's provided this building, and we're just going to come and hang out together here today. And I had, last week, had said that we would be having communion today, and that perhaps some of you would be thinking about, in your testimony time, maybe what it means to you, because I always talk about it. I can find week after week and month after month and year after year to talk about the blood and the bread and the things that they mean. But what about on a personal level? What does it mean to you? And that's kind of where I was going with that last week. And so sometime during testimony time, which is about now, perhaps maybe some of you might share with us. Well, our opening scripture this morning is very, very pertinent to this particular congregation. I can't answer for or speak for, and I'm totally disqualified to speak about anywhere else, because this is the main fire that I believe needs tending. And so this verse is kind of an in-house verse, and I find it's very fitting among those of us who meet here. It's from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians, at the time Paul wrote this, that particular church was going under extreme persecution, all kinds of attacks against it. People were trying to sneak in and subvert the doctrines of Christ and put people in bondage back under the laws of Moses. But there were a lot of things that caused disruption and peace in that particular church. But something that Paul said, and if you understand the situation that the believers gathered there faced every time they came together, this is the one thing that stands out to me that made them a little different than maybe how we might handle the same kind of situation. But we do here. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren or brothers and sisters, as it is meet or as it is proper, because that your faith grows exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Now, how precious this is, because I don't know when the last time was that any of you thanked the Lord for your brothers and sisters as a body, the people that you fellowship with. Because it's like it is so strong in this house, the love that you have for one another. All I know is that when people come in, they find real people here. And I know we get goofy and silly sometimes, but that's part of our lives. It's the one place we can all come together and just be real. We don't have to go hide behind a veil. We don't have to do that. We can come here and be honest and truthful and real. And this scripture describes what I see in each of you. When I come here, I already know that I can see over the years, over the course of time, that you're growing in faith. It comes out of your mouths and your testimonies, the scriptures that you share, sometimes even during the service, the things that God has put down on the inside of you shows growth, and that you're someone to be reckoned with. When the enemy tries to raise a standard against you, you're very quick to put him in his place. See, I don't hear those testimonies anymore. When you come to church, the devil's been beating me up all week. And I used to make the comment, well, if you know who it was, why'd you give him a whole week? Why didn't you stop him the first day and spare yourself a nasty bad week? But see, you're coming to that place in your faith now where I see it's very evident in your lives. And that big light that people see in you, they might not understand what it is, but there's something unique, something different about how non-believers see a Christian. It's almost like they can spot us in a crowd, but they can't quite discern what it is, but there's something uniquely different. And that what you see uniquely different is Christ in you, the hope of glory, your glorious hope. And so it's right that we would thank God for each other, because gosh, even in a family, a husband and a wife, two believers married, that's not just a believing husband or a believing wife. That's your sister in Christ. That's your brother in Christ. That takes marriage to a whole new level, a whole new dimension of life that's been made available. And what about when your kids are saved? That's not just my daughter. She's my sister in Christ. And so how we learn to process those kind of truths in the Bible, make opportunities available to make our families even so much closer and knit together in the love of the gospel that Paul talked about. And here too, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and how we treat each other is a direct reflection of the truth about what we think about Jesus. And if we're backbiting and gossiping and talking bad of one another, then really that's an outward expression of what we really think about Jesus. And so, but see, we're growing. We've gotten beyond that. And that's another plus for all of you, is that we've come through our early childhood days, when those are childish things to do. It's like the first thing kids learn how to do is lie and tell you no, everything they didn't. They just know those things. But in Christ, as we grow and mature in our faith, we grow out of childhood, but we never want to lose our childlike faith. But there's that point where we don't do those things anymore. We've learned to speak words that edify and build up and encourage. We learn to pray for each other. We've learned to respond to one another's needs. And it's not about self, it's about someone else. And that's real growth. And so in the midst of all of the persecution of that church, the Thessalonian church, it would be very interesting that in spite of all of that, it didn't harden their hearts, it didn't make them bitter, it didn't make them resentful, it didn't make them hide the fact that they were Christians, because that would make more trouble for them. Paul complimented them and made mention of their love that they had for each other, and that their faith, they were growing in their faith exceedingly. That means in leaps and bounds, in great measure, they were growing. And he didn't get around to see the churches that he fathered very often, and he communicated by letter. And the things that he could tell by the Spirit, what was going on there, we can tell by the Spirit what's going on here. And I'll tell you, you fit this to a T. This couldn't be a more appropriate scripture today to be thinking about. Your faith walk and your love walk is known by many. And don't quit, don't give up, don't back down, don't back away. Stand up and live your life freely in Christ. He died to give you an awesome and wonderful, overcoming, victorious life. And don't let it just pass through your fingertips like vapor. You got something worth living for, and you got something worth dying for. So whether you live or whether you die, God will be glorified in your life, and you'll have a legacy to leave for others that will follow you. When you've come and gone, there will be a place that people will remember your life, what your life meant to them, because of your faith and because of your love. Oh, such a rush. I mean, just like it's like an announcement, the crashing of cymbals, that there's, I don't really think that heaven's going to be a very quiet place from all that I've read in the scriptures. I just think it's just going to be so filled with loud praise and worship and all the people that said, well, you can't have musical instruments in the church. My God, are they going to go to heaven and tell Jesus, oh, that's not our doctrine. We can't do that. If I see any drums in the sanctuary, I'm out of here. Well, we'll leave that for their day. This is our day. This is the day God made for us, and we're going to have communion, and we're going to continue to rejoice and be thankful in His goodness. And actually, the scriptures that I have this morning are brief, but there seems to be a little sparkle in that cable. I like it. What is it, Tom? It's the battery? Oh, I'm glad it's not me. Mean I have to change right here in front of it? Go. Got little Duracell Energizers all over the place. That's what Christians should be like, Energizers and Duracell. Never run down. Interesting that the Psalms were very much brought out this morning, and the scriptures I have for communion are also from Psalms. Not used often, but very prophetic, because as we read these, this is Psalm 103, the first six verses. All of it is good, but I'm only going to go as far as verse six. But I want you to see, out of all of this that is written, see the heart of God, and not only see it, but have a deeper understanding and a revelation of God's love for you today. Because when we celebrate communion, it's a festival of love and joy and righteousness and peace. And we remember, Jesus said, as often as we do it in remembrance of Him. Well, these are some wonderful things that God is very well known for in this house of worship. I can't speak for anywhere else but here. Psalm 103, I'll read the first six verses and briefly talk about those. And then, just before we serve communion, there is a couple on a video that is going to bless us with some time to meditate and think about the goodness of the Lord. It'll be done in song. So I'm going to do these verses, and Tom can get the video ready. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems your life from, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with goodness, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Back to verse 1. The soul is your mind, your will, your thoughts. It makes up the soulish realm. It's the flesh part of us. And so it don't always want to bless the Lord. It doesn't always want to praise the Lord. And there are times when the spirit man in each one of us needs to speak to the soul and say, you will bless the Lord. Not because you have to, but because I said so. The spirit man speaking to the soul. That's how we're very able to cast down thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, that go contrary to the word of God. You speak to those thoughts and tell them, we're not going there, and I cast you down in the name of Jesus. So learn to bless, learn to speak to the soulish part of you. Learn to speak to the flesh with authority that you have in the Spirit. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. See, I know soul and forget are connected. Sometimes in a busy day, we might forget this. It could take as short as 5 seconds out of a day to be in remembrance, to remind ourselves of the benefits of being a believer, the great things that God has provided for each one of us. And then He lists some. Who forgives all our iniquities. And notice in the present tense, that's very important. Forgiveness is part of who God is, and forgiveness should be a part of who we are. And always remember, before we pass out the elements, if you have aught against anyone, you need to settle it. You might be the one to initiate it. Maybe the other person isn't present. If there's someone in your life that's rubbing your hair the wrong way, you got to get over that. And today's a great day to do that, because Christ has already provided for forgiveness for all of us. And we're a people that should walk in that forgiveness. No matter what a person has done, it doesn't always mean that what someone did to you was right. But forgiveness will release you from being dragged down to the gutter with them. Because walking in unforgiveness is a gutter life. There's no hope in it. There's no pleasure in it. There's no purpose in it. There's no future in it. It's horrible because it connects you like an anchor. And it's going to drag you down. But when you forgive, the anchor line is cut and you're free. And God is free to minister in your life and initiate healing from wounds that maybe someone has caused in your life. Because you see, He was wounded in our place. He knows what it's like to be bruised. He knows what it's like to be battered and cursed. And He made provision for each one of us. So forgiveness is really important. Who heals all our diseases. I like that present tense again. Like today, heals today. Does anyone among us that has need of healing? You all know that come here regularly. We always have a time for prayer. It can be after the word, it can be before, but I like to do it after the word, because God always said, actually in the Great Commission to the church, that God confirmed His word with signs following. The word coming forth produces faith in a person's life to believe God for who He is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. When you know that God is a good God, God is good all the time, and that He is present to heal, faith should rise in your heart to reach out in faith and believe God for those things that you have need of today. Who redeems thy life from destruction? Redeems, to purchase back. Some of us did some real things with our lives. Some of you probably can't relate to to the life that some of us have lived. But you also have come to realize that your life was bought with a great price, with the blood of Jesus Christ. You have great value and worth to the Father and to each other. You're no cheap thing. You have great worth and value. You're the pearl of great price from the other side of that parable. The merchant man who sold everything to purchase that one pearl. You're that pearl. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, in the New Covenant, we have the wonderful blessing that God sees us as kings and priests, royalty. There's royal blood coursing through your bodies because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he sees you as royalty. You got to start looking at yourselves as royalty, not in our own thinking, but biblically, and how God sees you. See yourself as he sees you, and see each other as he sees you. Oh my, that'll change so many things. It's hard to have a bad day when you take a minute and think about that, isn't it? And something as precious as that. And it says he crowns you. And I look at this crown up here. Someone gave this to us years ago, and it just is so fitting to put it up here on the Word to remind us of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But each one of you, you wear a crown of righteousness, but you've also been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies from your Heavenly Father. He's bestowed those things upon you freely through the offering of his Son on the cross. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We are in the natural, and we are what we eat in the spiritual sense too. Wherever we're feeding our spirit is what we're going to be like spiritually. If we spend all our time eating dead stuff like vultures and buzzards, we're not going to really grow all that much in the Lord. But if we want to be like the eagles and soar with the eagles, then we have to eat living things, like the living Word of God, the bread of life. And now some people have communion every day. Just because of that truth, they receive their healing, they receive their deliverance, they receive everything they have need of, and every day it reminds them to set 5 minutes out, even that little bit of time, to remember the goodness of the Lord in your life and what he's done for you. It doesn't take long. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There is a renewal that takes place within each of us. And you can always tell when you leave here, because so many people have testified they didn't want to come here, they didn't want to be here, they showed up with an ugly look on their face, and when they walked through the door and got hit with all that love, what an attitude adjustment. It was an immediate change to their countenance, and suddenly they felt renewed and refreshed. Sometimes these are side benefits, actually, of our walk with the Lord. That renewing and refreshing that comes from being with brothers and sisters, fellowshipping and worshiping the Lord together. There's a wonderful unity that takes place, not only with us, but with the Lord and ourselves. And communion come in union with. And those that are oppressed, I like this verse because this deals with what God will do. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I want to tell you, basically, God's got your back. Those who have oppressed you, who have, I like that, we're almost ready. Sounds good. For those that are oppressed, God is very fair about how he's going to deal with that. You and I might not be so fair depending on what's been done, but God will always do the right thing. And so this word is for you today. If you feel stepped on, pushed down, oppressed, bothered, squeezed, whatever, be it known today to you God is going to take care of that on your behalf. All you've got to do is just be willing to let it go. And you don't have to sit in that. You don't have to stay in that. You can let it go just that quick. I have a shirt that has the Staples button. Instead of Staples, it says Jesus. It's just that simple. And that's really what it is. We complicate things. They really don't need to be. So before we hand out the elements, this is a song that many of you may never have heard. But I'd like you to just receive from the words.
Remember the promise made.
That is going to be the ultimate communion. We do this together today, but when Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, he said he would not drink that wine again until he drank it new in the presence of his Father. And that's the day when we sit around the Lord's table, literally there, that we will do it with him. But right now, we're doing it with him through all of you. The bread of life, the bread that gives us life, deliverance, healing, strength, everything that his body is, everything that it was and all it will ever be is represented in this bread. And we receive that by faith because many people, including me, have received something wonderful and special from the Lord directly through having communion with him, either alone or with us as a body. So let's eat and enjoy. He said he would satisfy our mouths with good things. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In the blood, think of the worst thing you ever did, and it's not there anymore. The blood of Jesus, the sin eraser. It's gone. There's no remembrance anywhere. Not where it counts. This blood was shed on the mercy seat in heaven for every person. Thank you, Lord. Remember to forgive if you haven't already. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your blood, Lord, and the benefits that we receive from it, always to remember and never forget. The only thing God forgets is our past. And that's because he chooses to, not because he's Ancient of Days. To the King Eternal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yep. And any of you that want prayer, please come up.